Okay, the theme of the message would be Jesus is alive. So, what kind of Christianity are we living? So, before we conclude talking about Jesus Christ and the Easter celebration, I just want to bring a quick, an understanding or reflection of our personal life. Because Jesus Christ is everything for us. But it's nice for us to do a bit of reflection on us. So basically, there are a few questions over there. Are we living a real Christianism or Christian life or Christian religion? Or are we living a Pharisee type of Christianism based in norms, laws, rules, or doctrine? Now, can you guys understand the word Christianism? Is it a right word? Or is it a creating from Jonas? Is it an invention? Okay. Or it would be Christ faith. Okay. It would be a better Christ faith, a Christ living faith. Okay. Second question. Are you hypocrite Christians? Which means, are you just pretending to be followers of Jesus Christ? Are we really following him? Or are we that kind of Christians? On Sunday, nice and holy, speak beautifully, dress up nicely. During the week, man, are you sure we're Christian? Do you know? What kind of Christians are we? Then the third question we can ask ourselves. Is Christianism just another religion in the world? Which means we have Buddhism, we have the Muslims, we have many types of religions in the world. Is Christians just another one to add in the number of agenda? Good question, eh? What makes us different between the other religions in this world? Is follow Christ just a religion? Think about it, okay? It's just simple questions that we need to keep asking ourselves, because towards the end of the day, Jesus Christ is not just another set of rules or just something, I do this, this, and that. He is who he is. He is our King, our Lord, and our Savior. Then, there's a thesis over there. Looks like an essay from the university. There's a thesis, then we're going to defend that one. Okay, so simple phrase I want to read for you. There is no problem in the Christianism movement or following Jesus Christ movement. The issue is with the followers. Ooh. There are four pillars that hold the Christian faith. Okay? The first part that holds us standing as true believers is Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you guys agree? Oh, yes. Oh, if you know, it's okay. All right. Then the second one. The person who follows Jesus Christ is transformed. The third one that holds our faith in Christ is the Word of God. It's not the word of Jonas. It's not the word of Santa Claus. It's not the word of the President Bush. I don't know. He's not even there anymore. It's not Trump. Okay? Then what happened? And then the fourth one would be putting the Word of God into practice. So in this first part, we're going just to meditate a little bit on this. So first point, first part of the pillar, Jesus Christ. What's the name of Jesus Christ mean? According to the understandings, he's a savior, eh? He's the Messiah. He's the savior of the world, okay? The Holy One of God. So we believe there's only one savior. For the young ones, we talk about Avengers. There's no Iron Man, no Superman, no Spider-Man. It's only Jesus Christ, man. Okay? And for the older people from my time, we can say Rambo or Chuck Norris, Braddock, all these guys from these movies. Or even later on, there are so many superheroes. For example, Charlton Heston, he played a lot of good movies like Moses. You know, he would be a hero for us in that time. But he is not our savior. Our only Savior is Jesus Christ. Then, the very famous scripture, I just started the sentence, we guys can finish, I believe. In John chapter 3, verse 16, says, "For God so loved the world, for whoever believes in him." Awesome, beautiful. Second one, John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life. That's a very strong statement, and that's the Word of God. If the Word of God is saying that, That's basically what it is. Then, in Acts 4:12, says that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. So in John 14:6, says that Jesus is the truth, and no one can go to the Father if not through. Okay, awesome. So, nice and simple, first part of the lesson, nice and correct. So, I'll ask a simple question. Could you please turn to the person on your side and ask this person on your side, hey, who is Jesus for you? Okay, I'll give a second. Awesome. Good point of reflection. So let's go. Point number two. Nice and simple, okay? There's nothing new over there. I guess you all learned this lesson since from Sunday school. If you are new in the church today, welcome, because that might be new for you. And what a good news was that Jesus is a Savior. And as Jesus is our Savior, what He's giving us, He's giving us a new life. So there is no way you can follow Jesus Christ if you are not transformed. You can say, okay, I go to church every Sunday. I read the Bible every day. But if you are not transformed by the Holy Spirit, if you are not a different person, if you are not a different person, how can I say, the way that God wants you to be, I'm sorry to tell you that you still not follow the belief of Jesus Christ. You need to be born again. That's why Jesus Christ goes to Nicodemus and says, Nicodemus, if you really want to follow me, you got to be born again. And this guy was a very old, he's an older person at the time. And he says, Jesus Christ, I cannot even go back to my mother's womb. That's impossible. What is he talking about being born again? He's be born by the Spirit. And whoever believes in Jesus, Jesus came to live in them. Okay? So it says over there in 2 Corinthians, it says that you are a new creation. In John chapter 1:14 says, the person must be born by the Spirit. And then in John 8:32-34 says, no transformation, no true followers of Jesus Christ. Later on, you can take these notes and read in your house that talks about, if you really follow me, you'll be changing from your old selfish ways. Now, what Jesus Christ tells us every day is not an exercise I did once, it's all good now. He tells us to do every day. What do you have to do every single day? You stand up and you say, deny yourself. Ooh, that's a hard exercise. Okay, sometimes I want to do something, but if it doesn't please the Lord, it is so hard. Sometimes I feel like a little child and I start screaming, I want to do it, but I can't. Why? Because Jesus Christ lives in me, and that's not my body. My body is His body. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So there are a lot of things that we need to deny ourselves from. Can you see there's a photo of the gentleman over there? I like seeing these photos of before and after. This guy is a homeless. In the other part of the photo, he is still a homeless. What's the difference over there in that photo? He's clean shaven. Wow, this guy's looking like James Bond now, let's say. All right, looks like someone famous from Hollywood, okay? He's looking nice and trimmed and shaved. He still has his beard over there because it's the fashion today, all right? But what happened is, he's looking clean. Is he really transformed? How can we say that he's really transformed? Okay? By his walking, by his attitudes, by the way he lives his lives. Okay? His life, sorry, no plural, singular word. The main thing is, when I first came to Christ, I'm not sure if I shared this, so it might be the number 100,000, doesn't matter, okay? When I came to Christ, my question to God was, God, if you really exist, please change my life. That was my question. It's easy to talk about some other people's life, but it's easier for us to talk about ourselves. Man, I thank the Lord for my mom. She was praying for me every single day. I used to come to my house in states that I don't want to say due to age restrictions yet, okay? There's a restriction here. But the main thing is, I used to get into my house in some stages that my mom had to give me shower. the way that I was getting to my house. It wasn't just once, so many times. But every time that I used to step into my house, I used to open my door, I used to see her TV, she was watching a Christian channel. Ah, Jonas, you are in my house? Awesome. I will go to bed now. And she could sleep. Or give me a shower and put me to bed and go to sleep. But every single day, until the time that I ended up going to my house, I was arriving home waiting for my mom to give me the shower ready. I was so used to that, you know? And then she was sleeping. I woke mom, I'm in my house. Okay, no problem. She was relaxed. Then a few years later, after I came to Jesus Christ, I said, Mom, I was very puzzled. Can I ask a simple question? Why later on you stopped praying for me? Did you give up on me? He said, no, Jonas. That was when I really understood that your life wasn't in my hands. It was in Jesus' hand. If someone could transform you, it wouldn't be my own strength. I need a miracle. So what I did, I prayed and I rested. And she rested. So the Lord's going to do his job. Oh, here I am today. We praise the Lord for that. Woo! Wow, God's so good. Because the day that I say, God, if you will exist, you change my life. Wow, he done a mess with work and who we are today. 8 years ago, I was baptized on the 28th of March, 2010. Wow, the time goes fast, eh? Ooh, that's so good. So, a transformation. Does that mean that I'm still perfect, fully holy, fully, oh, look at me, look how good I am? Not at all, man. We struggle. Wow, I struggle still. I cry many times. I wrestle with God. But doesn't mean that he doesn't love me. Doesn't mean that he doesn't forgive me. So this transformation happens. And you can see this. It's visual. Not just from outside, from inside. Today my hair is cut. My beard is still a little bit all right. Okay? But today I'm clean. Not from outside, but from inside. And I praise the Lord for that. Third part of our revision. The Word of God. Going back to my transformation. When I asked God, if you will exist, so change my life. I had a motorbike accident. Broke both of my hands. There was my mom again. Oh, mom. Imagine a guy, 25 years old, finishing the number two. Oh, mom. Man, that's pretty bad, eh? Okay? But then, her humbleness, she was there, helping me. But the funny thing that I could see was, I knew a lot of people. I used to work as a personal trainer in Brazil. And I knew so many people. I used to work in three companies, three factories. Let's say 3,000 people. I knew these people by name and surname. Every single one of them. My Facebook, if you guys see on my Facebook, there are so many people over there. I cannot send a happy birthday message to them because it's too many people. But the main thing is, when I had my motorbike accident, I was in my house, all smashed because I broke the hands, scratched the body and so on, couldn't walk properly. Just a single hand of friends came to visit me. That really struck me in the heart. Really struck me so bad. Because, man, I helped these people so much. Why they couldn't come and see me? Wow. I felt abandoned. Very abandoned. So what I did, you know what? If God really exists, he wants to work in my life, I need to take a step of faith. I locked myself in my room for 3 months. I only left my room to go to work and then come back home. I used to spend hours in my room, and I put my face in the Word of God. The funny thing is, my grandmother had to give me a new Bible because my pages got stuck for the amount of tears that were coming out of my eyes as I was reading the Word. 3 months, my mom was worried again. Jonas, what's happening? You're not talking to me. What's going on? But there was a cleanness season that was happening in my life. But I am who I am today. Because I was reading his word. What's King James translation? New NIV, SLV, LAV, NIV, I don't know who IV, no Jonas V. What happened is, okay? What happened was, who was teaching me on that room? Was the Holy Spirit. I learned a simple prayer. Lord, your word says they were a teacher, so please teach me. Ooh, that was good, eh? Wow, I couldn't wait to get into my house and read again. Through the Old Testament, New Testament. Do I remember everything? Not at all. I'm still learning today. Okay, but the main thing is I needed a lesson for that time. And I'm still feeding on that food until today. So Romans says that faith comes from hearing. And hearing what? The word of God. Not the word of Jonas. Not the word of King James. Oh, no, the King James. Not the word of, I don't know, Prince Harry. I don't know names, okay? You can imagine some names, okay? The word of God. John 17, 17 says, sanctification by the truth, as his word is the truth. And sometimes his words hits us in a certain way that don't like it. Let's give an example. Jesus Christ tells us to love our enemies. Ah, that one. It struck me in the heart. Not anymore now, but at that time was hard. Why? Our enemies are not people from the Al-Qaeda. Are not President Bush. He's not our enemy. Our enemies are the people that are near us and we know. Okay? Could be a family member. Could be a friend. Could be a workmate. Could be a school friend that keeps bullying you. Could be someone around you. And Jesus Christ saying, love your enemy. If you want to give food to him, if you ask you to walk a mile, walk 2 miles or go the extra step with him. No way. I don't feel like doing that. That's why I could learn that following Jesus Christ is not a matter of feeling. It's a matter of obedience. Because most of the time, we are wrong in our thinking. Wow. So, that's interesting for us to understand then. In Psalm 19, John 5:39, examine the scriptures because that gives you the way of life. If you live the life according to your own understanding, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. With God, we might make mistakes, but he's there with us, and you understand where we got it wrong. Okay? So the word of God is powerful. Because even David in Psalm 119:105 says, his word is a lamp for my feet and light to my path. And this psalm is a very good psalm because every time you don't know what to say, you don't know what to do, you don't know how to pray, don't you worry. Go to Psalm 119 and read it. Nice and slowly. Ah, over there, there's prayer, there's praise, there's singing, there's joy, there's petition of forgiveness. Okay, it's a very beautiful psalm. It's the longest one in the Bible, but pretty good one. And also in that same psalm, it says, I hid his word in my heart to not sin against him. Okay, so what happened is, the Bible is there. In Brazil, it's very funny because the people leave the Bibles in front of the house as a kind of shield. Oh, the Bible is open? Oh, it's all good. If someone arrives in the house and the book's closed, oh, my house is unprotected. Man, that's not a problem at all. It's not the Bible that's going to protect you. It's the Word of God that's going to fill your heart with courage, encouragement, faith, understanding, and so many other good things that come from the Word of God. So, again, I ask you to turn to the person on your side and ask the simple question. Are you examining the scriptures? Please. Okay? Nice. Then, number four, before I put the point number four in this revision, I will take you guys away from your comfortable zone. If you may, if I may. May I ask everyone to stand up, please? Okay. If you can stand up. And I'll ask you to swap places with the person on the next row. Can we try this exercise? Whoa, I'm sorry for that. Okay, next row or next line, just swap places. If you need a soft place to sit, please bring the chair as well. That's perfect. All right, now you can be seated, please. You may be seated. Thank you very much for that. Well done. Oh, I can see a good mixture around now. Eh? You mixed everyone around now. How good is that? But what was the feeling when I first asked you guys to stand up? Ah, okay, stand up is fine. But to move places, I don't want to move my place. I always sit there. I love this area, you know. And life with God, my friend, I'm sorry to tell you that, is not a place of comfort. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. He gives you comfort, but it's not a place of comfort. He's going to give you some missions. I give an example. I asked the Lord to give me faith. Lord, increase my faith. My faith is pretty small. I need to get a bigger faith to remove mountains. What he gave me? He gave me situations to face that would increase my faith. Lord, give me understanding this situation. I want to learn how to love my enemies. I don't even need to say what happened. Man, that was hard exercise, eh? But as every time you pray for the Lord, he's not going to tell you, hey, go to the Bible, read about it. No, read about it, and that's it. He's going to give you the understanding. No, he's going to tell one thing. You're going to put this into practice. It's very easy to learn. Now I know the whole Bible from back to back. Awesome. Are you putting this into practice? We are real followers if we really put his words into practice. In 1 John 2:4 says, if you know the word and don't put it into practice, I'm sorry, guys. You're not my son. That's hard. In 1 John, 2 verses later, says, live as Jesus Christ lived. Because that's going to lead us to the real part of our message today. Then Matthew 7:21 talks about putting his words into practice. If you are my true followers, you put my words into practice. In Mark 15:16 says, preach the good news, which means put into practice what I asked you to do. And that's a hard one, because I often hear, Jonas, I cannot preach the good news because that's not my calling. That's not my gift. I'm sorry, that's not my, that's what God called me to do. God called me to do something different. Hang on a second. There's something missing over there. He called everyone to preach the good news. Jonas, how can I do that? Should I stand in front of the church and preach the good news? No, here is just an exercise. We're in a school here. Our really ground is outside the church. At your workplace, in your house, with your friends, at school, in the bus, train station, airplane, doesn't matter where you go, even if in the holidays. Someone might be needed to hear the truth. Jonas, but do I need to say all the words? Do I need to know the whole Bible? Don't you worry about it. Jesus Christ tells you, if you believe in me, if I live in you, when you open your mouth, what is going to happen? I will say the words for you. So don't you worry of what you say. Just be available. Put into practice. Then in Colossians, says to us, another way to put this faith into practice is to support one another. Jesus Christ talks about love one another. That's beautiful. But the word support one another, we all have that, brothers and sisters, that my Lord, ooh, that's hard. Okay? That person is coming around and say, oh, I wish I wasn't here. I need to walk away. Okay? Because sometimes it's hard to support that person on your side. Okay? But the Lord's telling us, hey, support that person. There are 4 types of Christians. Have you guys heard that before? Or maybe more types of Christians. I'm putting 4. Number 1, the strong ones. Number 2, the weak ones. Number 3, the annoying ones. And number 4, the heavyweight ones. Man, you gotta carry that one so hard. Okay? But the Lord tells us to support one another. So what that means? The strong one cannot tell to the guys, hey, you're not my level. You don't talk to you. I'm sorry. You're not on my level. Let me talk to the other person that's strong. No, no, no. The Lord is telling you, go to the weak one and help that person. Support them. Same for the weak one. Hey, you're weak, but you don't need to run away from everyone. Hey, look for someone. Ask for help. Because even they strong think they are strong. Not really. They all need support. Because the strong Christian might be proudful. And the weak one might be so ashamed of himself. So we all need one another. And that's where I value come to this beautiful congregation every single week. Because here we find support, we find encouragement, we find love, we find affection. Sometimes you need just a simple hug and it makes a massive difference for us. So put these words into practice. And throughout the day, does the glory belong to you? Someone gave me a hug today. That person is perfect. No. Thank you, Jesus, that you sent me that person to help me today. Because all the glory belongs to God. In talking about glory belongs to God, Jesus is alive. Jesus is not dead. I like that movie, God's Not Dead, not the name. There's so many stuff over there happening, truth or not truth, doesn't matter, I don't know. It's a good picture for us to see what faith really means. Toys of the Day, is the movie the Bible? No. Is the movie Jesus? No. Jesus is alive. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came as a man. He is alive. So I would like to read the book of Luke, chapter 24. If you guys have your Bibles with yourself, you can open as well. Or if you want to bring in the screen, Luke chapter 24. Because that's going to link to our third proof of that Jesus Christ is alive. We read from Mark, from John, and now from Luke, chapter 24. Okay, so Luke chapter 24 is after chapter 23. Okay, nice and easy, okay? Easy way to find it. All righty. So in a nice and simple way, I'll read it for you guys. The resurrection, that's the title. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. Wow. Man, stop over there. Imagine wake up in the morning, going back to our foundation of our faith, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came here just to make miracles. Nah. Was his main focus to make miracles for people? Nah. Did he hear? He came here to bring peace to the world? Nah. He came to bring the sword. He came to teach us how to live the life. He came to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. That's totally the opposite of what this earth thinks of peace or other things. So today, the peace of the Lord that goes beyond any understanding that remains in you is something that people cannot understand. The world might be falling apart. You know who you are in Christ. You know God is with you. You know you're not there alone. And the guy says, man, how come you can remain calm? No, I'm not calm. I'm freaking out. But I know that Jesus is with me. I'm sure about it. Okay, so imagine these ladies go there in the morning. And hey, hang on a second. There's nobody over there. While they were wondering about this, verse number 4. Suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Woo! All right, I don't know. Sorry, that's Jonah's version. Sorry. Okay, but imagine the angel saying, guys, we're looking for the dead man. He's risen. He told you so many times. So many times God has tell us so many things through his words, and we forget. Jesus Christ told his disciples, guys, I'm leaving the earth. My time is finishing, but I'll be back on the third day. And then when I leave this earth, I'll give my spirit. The guys didn't get it. And even the day of his death, they got there. The angels had to tell them again. And the funny thing is, look at the reaction. He's not here. He's risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then, didn't remember the words. Remember that sensation. Oh, I remember that now. Okay, that's interesting. So when they came back from the tomb, oh, Joyce, hey, he's alive. They're all excited, you know. They told all these things to the 11, to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others, with them who told this to the apostles. But again, they did not believe. Come on, man. You know? I would say to these guys, man, you're kidding me. Sorry, Jonah's version, okay? Sorry for that. Okay? Bending over. Now, then Peter, straight away, I like Peter. Peter's a crazy man. Very reactive man. Bah! Wasn't perfect. Reactive man. What he does when he heard the news? I don't believe, but I'll go there to check it out. He runs away, man. I imagine him speeding like crazy, tripping over the floor, standing up again, and running to the tomb. When he got there, bending over, he saw the stripes of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself, what have happened? The funny thing is, they told what's going on. They told the truth to them. Most of the times, you're going to tell the people around you, look what God has done in me. They'll not get it. Some of them, they have to see to believe. That's interesting. And then, what happens next? These guys on the road meet Jesus Christ in many different ways. And they still didn't get it. Until they fully realized, hey, that is the Lord. And he is alive. So what does that to do with Easter today? I guess the Bible, since the beginning, talks about the Lord's creation. Talks about what's going to happen with the Lord's creation. God knew that if you don't follow, that someone would make a mess in a certain way, it would be far away from him. But he had a plan. Everything was planned. In the beginning, there were sacrifices. We were singing the Lamb of God today. The Lamb. The Lamb was the sacrifice. The simple animal, very simple, very navy, very fragile, was used to bear the sins of the whole family at that time. But that process got so messed up, didn't work anymore. And God doesn't want us sacrifices anymore. We say, guys, stop with the sacrifices. Does the Lord take pleasing or is pleased with sacrifices or obedience? So here comes Jesus, fully God, fully man. Comes to earth. And I imagine in the book of Isaiah, the Lord is asking, who shall I send? Jesus Christ, in the throne of the Lord, stand up and say, Father, send me. Here I am. Okay, I'll send you a son. Imagine for a father to send his son to suffer for his own creation. And Jesus Christ knew what was going to happen. He wasn't surprised of what was going to happen with him. The night that he was betrayed, he ate with the one who was going to betray him. The one who betrayed him with a kiss. That's challenging. And before he betrayed, before he was handed over, he was so stressed because he knew that he was going to go through the Roman type of torture. Even today, it's known of one of the worst tortures in the world. I like the book, the movies of Jesus Christ. They don't show that much. That's so good, nice and clean. But when you really study the science behind it, what happens with the body when the person is smashed 34 times with whips that have like bones at the end that takes the skin off, beaten, and I don't even want to go there. It's painful. He knew he was going to go there. But he knew that it's supposed to be done. He knew that he was going to be agonizing on a cross with people watching and mocking him. He knew that. But what he did, if we go back to our slides, he knew he was the way to the Lord. He was the only way. If he didn't go to the end, we wouldn't be here today. If he didn't take our place on the cross, we wouldn't be here today. If he wasn't born again, because he was baptized in water and by the Holy Spirit, he was tempted. If he wasn't transformed, he would still be the carpenter, son of Joseph. No, he knew who he was. Because when he opened his mouth to speak in the synagogue, the guy says, hey, this guy has so much authority, but he's not the son of the carpenter. But Jesus Christ knew he had to go through the whole process. Because he's not saying, hey, do it. I don't need to do it. I'm God already. You guys need to do it, but I don't need to do it. No, he actually did. He knew the scriptures. Jesus Christ came to earth. But one thing that was very interesting that I read, I guess in the book of Matthew or Luke, that God saw how Joseph was so into the scriptures. He was so knowledgeable of the words. And he said, oh, I'm going to use that man to raise my son. That guy has so much knowledge. I want him to raise my son. And I imagine Joseph talking to Jesus every day about the scripture. Because when he was 12, he was in the temple already asking questions and answering them. Hey, a kid, 12 years old. And the guys were amazed with his answers. But I believe he's a teenager. He's like, I need to show who I am. Then all of a sudden, hang on a second. That's not right. He withdrew himself. He don't hear no about Jesus anymore until he is fully baptized and he started his journey. How amazing is that? But he knew the scripture. Why? Because when he was facing the enemy, he didn't use, rebuke the devil, that's it. No, he used the word of God. If you guys want to see what was the reference when Jesus Christ faced the enemy, it's in Psalm 91. Wow, that's very interesting to see what happened over there. He used the scripture. Then, practice makes perfect. What he did was, he wasn't just knowing the word. He wasn't just, I know I'm God. He kept putting the things into practice. And the last thing he had to put into practice was his sacrifice. He done everything beautifully, but last part was the hardest one. Then, he was killed. But on the third day, the people said, it's impossible. These guys are just another prophet. We killed all the other prophets. He's going to be just another one. Allah, he's calling for Elijah now. Eli, Eli. I don't know how to say it properly. But the main thing is, people say, he's calling for Eli. He's calling for Elijah. Towards the day, on the third day, the tomb was empty. And not just the word of God proves that he's alive, as many historians. There are so many writings about encounters with Jesus during that season that you cannot say, that's just another Christian story. What we live, you guys, is not a religion. We live the real faith with the living God. What's the difference between the Christians and any other religion? The biggest difference is our Savior died for us and he is alive. Muhammad, not alive. Buddha, not alive. Whatever other leader that comes in the world, they are not alive. Only Jesus Christ is alive. And he is risen. He is? Risen. Amen. Okay, so, in conclusion, today is a day of celebration. It's not a day of mourning. It's a day for us to rejoice and understand. Hey, tomorrow I'm going to face some trials. I don't mind. My Lord is alive. Hey, tomorrow I have such a hard math test. I don't mind. My Lord is alive. Tomorrow I have to go to work 4 o'clock in the morning. Doesn't matter. My Lord is alive. Tomorrow I want to go to my friend and ask for forgiveness. Doesn't matter. My Lord is alive and I'll do it because he did it. Tomorrow I will help someone Why? Because my Lord is alive. And if he did it, I will do it also. Tomorrow, I will pray for my brothers and sisters. Why? Because my Lord did it in John 17, and I will do it too. Because if you look at Jesus Christ, how do you learn doing how to do these things? Hey, I do because I saw my Father doing it. What an example. If you want a perfect example of life, personality, truth, understanding, and holiness, don't even need to look to Paul, not James, not Jacob, not Joshua, not King David. No. Our greatest example is the Lord Jesus Christ, who never sinned. He knew no sin to be made perfect for us. And that's our Lord. Let's just bow and pray. Father, I just want to thank you so much, Lord. I just want to thank you so much because you are alive. And you are God. You are all-powerful, all-strong, all-knowledgeable, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. You are amazing, Lord Jesus. And we are here today, Lord, because of you. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for a sacrifice on the cross. I want to thank you because you, Lord Jesus, have the power to transform sinners and holy people. You have the power, Lord Jesus, to break every chain the enemy put in the people, Lord Jesus. You have the power to break every curse in families, people, friends, nations. There is no limit for your power, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, you created the heavens. And if we look to the stars, Lord, you don't even imagine that you hold the whole universe in the palm of your hands. And being so great and so big, you came to earth to die for us, Lord Jesus. Today, Father, we want to thank you for a sacrifice. But we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, because you, on the third day, you rose again. So, Father, may all the glory and all the honor and all the power be to you now and forever, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, guys.